Thank you. Well, good morning. It's amazing that Lance would invite me to share with you, especially after messing up the service with the offering order and so forth and all of that. It's truly an honor to be with you this morning. It's really great to see a lot of faces grown to love over the last year and a few months. And as Lance maybe have mentioned, maybe not yet, but it's in your worship guide, we're in the middle of a series titled How Church Works. But before we jump into that and the topic which Lance has invited me to share today, which is around belief, faith, et cetera, which is core to what we do as Jesus followers and as Christians, I want to do something together, just a little bit of interactive moments here. So I'd like to everyone to stand, please. And I'm going to put a few questions on the screen. This is honestly has very little to do with faith or anything like that. And basically, these statements are going to be either true or false. And you're going to vote by either turning to your right, if you believe it's a true statement, or to your left. So right now, you're facing like this, and you will turn to your right like this. You maybe turn that way now just to practice. Make sure we get this down. You're going to turn to the right if you think it's a true statement, or you will turn to the left if you feel it's a false statement. Now, the only $100 bill I could find at our house was from the Monopoly game. And I decided not to bring it because then I didn't want to have problems with Monopoly bills showing up in the offering. So don't have any prize. And the reason I mentioned prize is because the idea is if you get this wrong, you sit, you take a seat. Kind of clear? One practice round. Here we go. Coffee drinkers live longer. So if you believe that's a true statement, turn to your right, please. If you do not agree with that statement, please turn to your left. All right. Here we go. The actual truth is that actually, yeah, there are some studies that have shown that if you drink about 3 cups of coffee a day, you might live up to 3 months longer, which is really helpful, right? But hey, let's keep moving forward. Next statement. Here we go. Thanks for sitting down, those of you that are honest and know that we're actually in church where we shouldn't be lying. Coca-Cola is just as healthy as coffee. If you believe that is true, you would turn to your right and tell, oh, wow, here we go. And yes, you are correct. Most of you, I think, except those of you that chugged a whole liter this morning, that is not true. That's false. Okay, here we go. Next one. Regular exercise, a healthy diet, a regular sleep schedule, raise the quality of life. Raise our quality of life. Okay, we've got a lot of very smart people here. That is also a very true statement. Here we go. We're doing good. Hopefully we'll lose some more people here because we won't have that many prizes to hand out. Here we go. Couples who have a regular date night are 63% more likely to stick together. 63% more likely to stick together at the regular date night. All right. Fantastic. You guys are like on the ball. Next one. Here we go. We're finishing up here. 83.5% of statistics are determined by experts following their gut or kidney. Some of us are still waking up today, aren't we? That could be true as well. That's kind of a... we're getting a little bit goofy here if you don't realize that. Last one. All of the previous statements are completely 100% irrevocably true and have mountains of data to back them up. I hope someone's at least grinning, right? That actually, even though I said it's true here, is actually false. That is not true. Some of them were. You can have a seat. Thank you so much for participating. Why don't you give yourselves a hand? All right. Well, Lance invited me to share today a little bit about belief. And I decided to do that small interaction together just to smile, hopefully. Hopefully no one's truly frustrated with me right now. I was going to put a football one in there about the Atlanta Falcons winning the Super Bowl, which is obviously true. But I didn't. But I actually ended up mentioning it anyways. Oh, well. Lance invited me to share about belief. What do we believe? What does belief have to do with church? And I'm very excited about this morning. I've prayed many days, many hours that I would be able to speak clearly and share this fundamental core and very simple idea. And my prayer today would be to help each one of us, each one of us. Maybe this is your first time in a church after many, many years and someone convinced you to come for whatever bribe it was or just to be nice. Or maybe you've been in a church or for many, many, many years. My prayer today is to help us each identify and also to encourage each of you and each of us to take another step in faith toward Christ. I've titled this message, Follow Me. Follow Me. And just to be super duper clear, I'm not talking about follow Dwayne. And as some of us that have lived here in Mexico or Latin America have probably heard many times, I'm not talking about Sígueme los Buenos. We're with El Chapulín Colorado, and if you don't know who that is, check it out. It's worth your time. I am talking about specifically Jesus Christ and his invitation to many, 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 many people, both when he was here and I believe continuing to today, the invitation of follow me. So basically there's three ideas represented by these three different circles that I want to share. And we're going to jump right in with both feet. The very first idea that I want to talk about this morning is the idea of following. The idea of simply following. Now, in Scripture, you will find various places where Jesus personally invites on a one-to-one basis, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. And there were various people that did that. There's various stories of disciples leaving everything, almost abandoning everything to go follow Jesus. Now, for the majority of the people, and you're not going to find this in a verse, but let's just observe the texts, let's just observe history. For the majority of the people, that wasn't really the case. They didn't get a personal invitation, a one-on-one, would you come follow me, leave everything behind. And I want to bring it down to that very simplest step, that very simplest idea, that each of us are invited to follow Christ. To each of us are invited to take a step. Now, this step, like I said, isn't a huge leap. I'm going to leave everything behind and abandon it all. I'm going to suggest that for maybe even some of us in this room, maybe this is your story actually today, but also for many people, even in the New Testament, many of them took a step in following Christ by just joining the crowd of people that were hanging out listening to this great teacher. They maybe didn't believe everything that he was saying, most likely didn't believe who he was claiming to be. If we can be real honest here, even those disciples who did abandon everything to follow him, even they didn't completely understand or believe everything Jesus was saying about himself until after his death and his resurrection. So if you're following me here, the idea of following Christ, the idea of taking a step, maybe just tagging along, maybe we would say it that way, out of curiosity, out of somewhat of an interest. I said a minute ago, maybe someone came along because they said, hey, there's free food. Or, hey, she's really cute. You need to come. Or whatever it was that they told you today, you'll get an extra point with God or whatever it might be. I'm going to suggest that a very first small step of just coming along and listening to what Jesus has to say is an important first step. If we would put it on a diagram, and we're going to be using this kind of an idea throughout this message of following Jesus, it's just a very first step in that direction. Like I said, we're just starting to listen to what he has to say. Not necessarily committing to anything, not necessarily believing it all, but hey, we're just showing up because whatever that might be. And actually, just real quick, interesting thought. There were actually people following Jesus around who did not, like decidedly did not believe what he was saying. Not only were they neutral or positive intentions, they were actually negative intentions. For example, those Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were following him around because they were looking for him to say something they could use against him, which they actually did. So again, anyone, everyone can follow, no matter who you are, your background, or even your intentions. Quick side note, even some of those Pharisees became followers later on. But hey, no matter what the stage you're in currently, the first invitation is just come along. Just follow. Just follow. Now, as we follow, as we hang out, maybe it's on the very edges and just, you know, just listening, just curiosity, or finding that certain thing to poke at. As we listen, we will be hearing different things that Jesus is saying, that Jesus is teaching, that God is speaking to us. So the question arises, what do you do with what you hear? What will we do with what we hear? And that leads us to the next step, which is the biggest and most important step of believing. 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 Now, we all believe something. We all believe something. And I'm going to actually go way back here. Let's just take a step outside of faith, outside of religion and doctrine and all these things. And let's just look at a continuum of belief. And I honestly made this up, so hopefully it's helpful. But I think there's a place where we believe enough that we give it screen time. We give things screen time if we believe it enough that it'll keep us from being bored. We believe it enough to entertain us. We believe it enough to, maybe, who knows, I'll think about it. And we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Fox News, we've got CNN, we've got fake news and real news about the fake news, and we've got all this stuff which we don't really know. Let's be really honest about this. We don't really know how much we believe it. But we give it time. We give it screen time. You know, we allow it in just because we're bored or because we want to stay informed or whatever the reason might be. And that's one end of this spectrum. We give it screen time. And then the other end of the spectrum, I put the idea of lifetime on it. We allow these ideas. We allow these beliefs. We believe them such that they actually end up defining us. They end up defining us. At the very beginning, some of the funny, hopefully funny questions I invited you to participate in, I'm not going to ask for show of hands. I was trying to figure out what to do with all that. And I said, yeah, we're in church. We don't want to be lying, right? But, you know, a lot of us believe some of the things we mentioned, you know, about the diet and the exercise and the good sleep. And there's this place on this continuum where we believe things, but we're not actually willing to do anything about it yet, if you follow me. And I'll just be honest and confess because it's good to do that in church. Some of those things that are true statements, for example, the whole eating and exercising and sleeping, I mean, I believe it. Like, I love that. Have I actually crossed that line and done something about it? Not as much as I would need to have it truly improve the quality of my life. And hopefully a lot of us are nodding, and hopefully very few elbows are jabbing those beside us. But we can believe things, even greatly, but there's a point where we cross a line and actually do something about it. So, in a famous quote, which might or might not have been like this, to believe or not to believe is the question. That's what it comes down to. Now, if we're in church, which we are, and if we're talking about faith and Christianity and so forth, the question has to arise, so I'll go ahead and put it out there. What must I believe? And as we talk about this idea of following Jesus, so the question expounded or made larger or more complete would be, what would I have to believe to be a Jesus follower? Here we go. A little creation in 7 24-hour days, Noah's Ark saving 2 of every animal, the Israelites passing through the Red Sea on dry ground, Jonah spending 3 days in the belly of a whale, the fulfillment of the prophecies of all major and minor prophets, the virgin birth, Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind, predestination, the importance of baptism by complete submersion in water, the miraculous power of God to do miracles today, salvation through faith and grace alone, the apostolic lineage of the church, the infallibility of Scripture, the need to speak in other tongues through the power of the Holy Spirit, the existence of a literal hell, obedience through tithing 10% of all income, a little interpretation of Revelation and the end times, and a premillennial eschatology, of course. I hope you noticed I do enjoy smiling, and I've said this before, hopefully it'll be helpful right now, but I feel like my wife is one of the happiest persons on earth, because she actually gets it when I'm trying to be funny, so she's laughing, and then she laughs at me because very few other people are laughing, and then 3 or 4 minutes later when everyone else laughs, she gets to laugh as well, so she gets like 4 laughs out of each of these intents. So this is a huge list, and honestly I did this kind of tongue-in-cheek, because thankfully that's not the case. Thankfully, no. Humbly, knowing full well that maybe some of you will be angry with me after this, I submit to you, you do not have to believe all of that completely to be a Jesus follower, to follow him. Now, some of those things are super duper incredibly important. Some of them aren't so much. Thankfully, we don't have to have that huge list. So what do we need to believe? Because belief, faith, is huge. It's core. You can't just toss it out the window and have Christianity. I'd like to go and point us to a very, very well-known passage, maybe the most well-known passage in the Bible, in Scripture. And the author of this passage was John, one of the 12 gentleman who followed Christ for 3.5 years, heard him speak firsthand. He was there. Heard him speak. Heard his life, if you follow me. He saw his actions. He saw the teachings lived out. He saw the miracles and all the different things. He saw Christ. And he wrote this down. And if you have, or if you use one of the Bibles that has red letters, which I love because it kind of highlights or makes very clear which of the words are Jesus' words, these are actually in red letters. In other words, these are words that Jesus is speaking. And these are words Jesus is speaking to a religious leader who came, sought him out, and said, hey, you know, Jesus, we've been hearing you speak, And what must we do? What must I do to be saved? So this is literally Jesus speaking to someone who most likely grew up memorizing scripture, obeying scripture. Like this was the top of the rank, if you will, a religious person, a religious leader. And this is Jesus' response to him. This is what you must believe. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him," there we go, "whoever believes in him," the only son, "should not perish, but have eternal life." So Jesus basically makes a statement, one of these crazy statements if you're still looking from the outside in at Christianity, one of these exclusive, not cool, not great, politically correct statements of exclusivity about himself. Jesus says he gave his one and only son to believe in him. That's what it takes. And then he does go on. He says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." I love that. We're not going to dig into all the pieces of this. But he didn't come to condemn, but in order that the world might be saved through him. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light," the sun, "the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." This is just not a hint, but a way to say people love darkness. People love their own way. People love their own thing, their disobedience, rather than the obedience of God. The big, hairy, ugly word for so many, the sin that people had and preferred that over God. Therefore, they needed a Savior. Preferred darkness over light. "For whoever does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Let's go back to that very first verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So what do we need to believe? We need to believe in Christ. We need to believe in Christ. But the question then arises, well, what do we need to believe about Christ? You know, okay, great. I'll get to the point where I believe that more than just a made-up person, he was actually a historical fact and actual, you know, there's data. I'll get to there. That's great. Let me push this a little bit further, because there may be some of you in the room that are right there, and that's fine. Follow. You know, hey, so great, he existed. Let's see what he said, but I'm okay with accepting that he existed and that he wasn't just this made-up thing. Okay, that's a step. You follow me with the follow piece? But let me push us just a little bit further, because that's what we have the time for here today. I love the words of C.S. Lewis, and he wrote these words, and I'm just going to put them up here on the screen. C.S. Lewis was one of my favorite authors, one of apologists of the 20th century. Incredible guy who went from being basically agnostic or atheist to being a believer. These are his words. "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, a hard-boiled egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He didn't intend to. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. So what do we decide to believe about Christ? Do we decide that he was a lunatic? I mean, that's fair if you decide to land there. Or that he was a liar. I love the way Lewis puts it. You can't just land on a great teacher because some of the things he said doesn't give space for that. So it's either the lunatic, the liar, or as Lewis said, the Lord. That's what it comes down to. So as we come to this yellow circle and put that on here, we come to a critical point in this whole thing about following Christ, which is the idea of believing. Another way to say that is having faith. Or we could say putting your trust in Jesus, deciding to believe. He is who he said he was. He is who he claimed to be. He will do what he has promised to do. Therefore, my condition of a need for a Savior is reality, and I need to do something about what he has taught. So if, for me, this has been incredibly helpful. Hopefully it'll be for you. If we have on one spectrum myself, and I am going after what I want, my desires, regardless of what anyone, and much less God, has to say about it, or maybe even have faith in something else. If I'm facing this direction, when we decide to put our faith in Christ, recognizing and believing, like I said, that he is who he said he is, that he is who he claimed to be, that he will do what he's promised to do, that my condition is as he said, and therefore I need to do something about his teachings. Basically, that's an about face. That's a change of direction. And we are now facing Christ. We are now walking towards Christ. We have now placed our confidence, our trust, our faith. We have now believed in him. Now we're facing a new direction. Now it's no longer what I want, no longer my will, no longer facing towards this. It's now facing towards him. This is a critical, crucial, maybe the most important piece of this whole idea of follow me. What do we do with Jesus? Will I believe, put my trust in him? Now, a logical question, a great question, if we're thinking this through, is how much must I believe? How much? How much must I believe? I'm going to push us to the next idea here. And I'm going to suggest that we need to believe such that we are led to obey. We believe such that we are led to obey. We trust such that the natural fruit, the natural consequence, the natural decision on my part is to obey what Christ has taught. Now, a minute ago I mentioned this, but we don't really believe anything until you do something about it. You know, hanging out in that area of, yeah, sleeping well and eating great and so forth is good stuff, but it doesn't really help until you do something about it. So the question is, how much do we have to obey? Like, how much do we have to obey? And I'm going to submit humbly that that's the wrong question. It's the wrong question. Let me try another continuum here. Hopefully this is helpful. Let's talk about your gym membership, or the one you might have at the beginning of the year. Jim, and I'm talking about myself here. Don't feel like I'm criticizing anyone else, please. This is observation of humankind. You know, there's this one end of the spectrum where you believe that exercise, regular exercise, raises quality of life. And so, yes, you know, we look it up and find which is the best gym closest to us, that has the most wide variety of equipment, that's in great condition, has the most amount of hours, because who knows, I just might wake up at 2 in the morning and need to go work out. And we decide which one it is, and we go and we pay the membership, and because we're all in and we believe that this will change my life, we actually pay the whole year in advance. And you got your membership card, you got full access, you're in there all the time, there's a trainer standby on the phone for you when you need it. Okay? So there's that aspect. But as we know, you can have all that, but until you actually show up, it doesn't do much at all, or anything at all. It's like buying the broccoli, but leaving it in the fridge. You know, buying it consistently. If you got broccoli, it's in the fridge. See, we laugh about it. We smile, and in most things in life, we agree that this is just the way things work. Now, and I would suggest, and I would humbly submit to us all, that with faith, it's quite similar. It's quite similar. As you've decided to take a step and follow, and again, we're so happy you're here. If you're just on the fringes, you're like, this is crazy. He's already asking me to obey. I'm just like hanging out. It's fine. You're where you're at. That's great. Not trying, inviting you, but not pushing you. And the rest of us, you know, might be somewhere else. But so we've decided to follow, take a step. And we've decided to trust and put our hope and put our faith in Christ. But until we actually engage with our actions and start actually doing what Christ has invited or asked or commanded us to do, it's like having that membership. Now, real quick, I am not making a theological or doctrinal statement about salvation and how much you have to believe and how much you have to work and how much of all these things you have to have. That's not what I'm trying to get at all. Okay? I'm just saying, using our minds as we think about most other things in life, it's kind of obvious that you have to do something with it. So the question was, what must I do to be saved? Well, the answer is belief. Faith in Christ. Belief. And I'm going to push us just a little bit to suggest that without the obedience part, like I said a minute ago, I'm not going to judge. I'm not God to decide. No one of us is. But generally, when you believe something, something happens as a consequence. So there's that obey piece in there. Do you have to obey to be saved? That's a longer topic, and like if you want to get down to it, probably not. But then how do you know you're believing is my question. There's these two terms that are used in theological circles, and actually in this month we're celebrating another anniversary of many, many years ago, Martin Luther hammering on that door some of these core ideas to faith. And it's sola fide and sola gratia, or only faith and only grace. We are saved by faith, not by our works, not by our obedience, is what I'm trying to say a second ago. It's not because of what we do, how good we are or how bad you were. It's not about that. It's about faith. It's about that about face of turning from my way to Christ's way, about leaving sin and working and walking towards Christ. And it's about grace. It's God's grace. It's God's gift. It's freely given. There's a verse in Ephesians that says exactly this: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's not faith versus works, which is one of these great arguments that people that love doctrine and so forth love to get into. And it's fun. It's great. But honestly, I would submit to you, it's not about faith or works. It's not one or the other. It's about an act of faith. It's about a faith, living faith. It's about a faith that, because I do believe this, it defines my life more than simply giving it screen time. So, what must I do to be saved? I'd love to invite us to change that question. It's okay question. It's legit. Go ahead. But I want to take us to what I would consider a better question. What must I do to be a follower of Jesus? What must I do to be a follower of Jesus? And for this, I would submit that we need to follow Jesus. Take a step. Take a step. Maybe it's just showing up with your doubts, with the rough past you've had, with all the great ideas and facts that you have, which just aren't letting you yet take that step of faith, but showing up, following. And I believe eventually you will need to make that decision. Will I believe or will I not believe? It's key. And as we make that decision, if we decide, yes, I will believe in Christ, then there's that piece of let's do something about it. So right here, as we talk about, as I mentioned, following Jesus, I'm talking about a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just believing and happy because I believed, you know, 20 years ago, five or whatever, you know, yeah, I raised the hand, said the magic prayer, I've got my membership card, I'm in. Again, I'm not criticizing that, and I'm not making any theological statements about that. I'm inviting us, each and every one of us, to consider a growing relationship with Christ. Because if we're talking about just hanging out over here as far as possible, but hey, I've put my faith in Christ and pointing this right direction, I mean, again, I'm not going to comment. Personally, I would invite you to be working and think, not working, I'm sorry, that's a bad word to use in this context, to be thinking about how can I grow in this relationship? If I'm facing this direction, if I've truly believed in Christ and believed in what he said and believed who he is, naturally I would want to be moving towards him. I want to be in the process. And there's ups and downs, and sometimes I'm following and learning new things, and then I'm believing new things and expanding that faith, and then I'm obeying and putting it into practice, and I'm still hanging out and listening and following. Because it's this rotation, it's this thing that's going on constantly, because we're growing. We're growing, and maybe it's starting out with the very basic, yes, Christ is who he claimed to be. But then maybe we get to some of those other things in that crazy long list that become, because you've come to believe in it, become very important to who you are and how you believe and how you function in this life. And that's fantastic. That's part of it, I think. So, a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Where I'd like to land with this today is simply to invite each and every one of us to just take a moment and reflect. Where am I? And what could be a next step? What could be a next step in growing in my faith in Christ, in growing as a follower of Christ? For those of us that have believed for years, I'd like to suggest that it's super important that we get this right. Not because it's dependent, not because our salvation or right standing with God necessarily is dependent upon it, but because so many others who are on the fringes, who are on the outside looking in, who are taking maybe a first step of considering giving Jesus a bit of screen time, for them, what we live, how we live, the example that we are giving as people who are claiming to be Christ followers, that's, if we can say it this way, maybe the first scripture they're going to see. As Christ's body, as followers of Christ, we're reflecting him, we're representing him to this world. So therefore, once again, it's okay, I'm not judging you, but if you want to hang out here, it's okay, but there's people that are looking in and curious. And I think there's many, many, many people who've had a huge, like, incredibly bad experience. And maybe they're not angry at God, or maybe they're not, like, totally against Jesus, but they're like, man, if that's what it looks like, I'm out. So it's incredibly important that as Jesus' followers, we get this right. Not because we're fearful of losing something that's a gift. I'd love to encourage anyone that's in that place. It's walk confidently. Stay in the process. Believe, trust, and enjoy the process. It's all right. Put that muscle to work. Watch it grow. And for those of you who maybe are still way over here, you know, the very edge of this whole follow thing, so happy you're here today. And I ask you, please don't look at me. Please don't look at others to take your cue of what it should be or what it would look like to follow Jesus. Hopefully we're great examples, but probably won't be the best example. Please continue taking steps. Please continue following. And please just consider that piece of faith, the piece of believing that Christ is who he said he is. So follow me. That's Jesus' invitation. I believe it's to each and every one of us. No matter where we're at currently, where we've come from, what we're believing, what we're doubting, you know, I believe that's an open invitation. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity of hanging out together and together reading your word, listening to your thoughts, singing and so forth. God, I just pray for each of us today who are working through what it means to live out faith. There's some that are in the very beginning steps, and there's others that have had years of experience and years of relationship with you. And God, no matter where we're at, I just pray that you would help each of us to identify that next step and to take it. That you would help each of us as we walk in this relationship with you, that you would help us to be faithful to you, that you would help us to live in faith, in trust, and that we would have also the courage and the strength to obey, as hard as that can be sometimes. So thanks so much for your word, Jesus. Thank you so much for coming as our Savior. And it's because of you we're even here, and it's your name we pray.